morning and welcome to Paper Talk, the Irish Examiner's GA podcast. Firstly, a big thanks to Tony Lean for keeping the hot seat warm, and hopefully we can continue where he left off. Now, there's no lack of talking points from the weekend, with happy faces in Cork, Waterford and Roscommon this morning, while the soul searching is in full swing in Clare, Kilkenny and in Galway. Thurles and the Munster hurling final is our starting point. Michael Moynihan was there for us, and Michael, it felt like the end of a famine for the Rebels.
I think in the Miners winning as well, it was kind of a long day, and I think because it was in Thurles and there was more of a sense of occasion, and people felt, it's a particularly new team and a young team, so even though it's 3 years since they won a Munster title, there was that sense of a new dawn, and I suppose a famine ending, yeah, definitely.
Paint a picture of the day in Thurles. You've gone to plenty of Munster finals, but looking at the Cork crowd there, it seemed like they outnumbered the Clare equivalent by 2-1.
Yeah, I think the momentum is behind Cork. I mean, it's always a surprise to me that Clare don't travel to matches. It's nearly 20 years since they won a Munster final. They have an abysmal record in Munster. You'd have thought that even though Cork were slight favourites, that they would back themselves and think, well, you know, we've no reason to be nervous at Cork and we've beaten them before, etc. But, I mean, they were vastly outnumbered, I would say. It was at least 3-1. And even though I thought the Cork winners were better than Clare, I would certainly think the margin of victory in that game was reflected by the fact that most of the Cork support were in at least by half-time in the minor match, which is a little unusual. And, you know, it must be intimidating for 18-year-olds from the Clare perspective, to be playing basically against the entire stadium as well as a good opposition.
Okay. Not a classic Munster final by any manner of means, though?
No, but the way the two teams play, they kind of hit each other on the counter, etc. Plus, in fairness, Cork dictated the play totally. I mean, it was very surprising and I would say disappointing from a Clare perspective that, apart from maybe a 10-minute spell in the second half when they got a goal and a couple of points, that they never really had a period where they could say they were motoring and really on top and needed to press on, even though they created goal chances. So, the way Cork are playing, they can kind of hit that intensity, and I think teams are surprised by that, and it takes them a while to get to grips with it. And, you know, Cork should be very proud of the conditioning of the team. Declan O'Sullivan's done a very good job because that's the third game in a row. Really, they finished stronger than their opponents and outscored them coming on the stretch.
Okay, in terms of dictating the play, how much of it goes back to Anthony Nash? And I think you alluded to the fact there his restarts are on the Stephen Cluxton level.
Yeah, you see, kind of like Cluxton, either you push up and you mark everybody or you fall back. And if you push up, he'll bomb the ball 90 yards and put your half-backs under pressure and rotate the half-forwards to that point. If you pull back as Clare did, you're just given a free puck that is going to land in your own full forward line from someone like Damien Callahan or Cullum Spillane. I was amazed that Donal Maloney put a strong defence of it afterwards. I was amazed they didn't push up, because every time Callahan got the ball, he landed in the Cork's left corner and they must have got 6 points out of it, because their backs couldn't cope, Clare. They were pulling fellas down, giving away cheap, easy frees, or else Cork were getting scores. So, you know, tactically, the fear that Nash inspires in other teams now is a huge weapon for Cork, because it's just like Gaelic football. Do we push up and take a chance, or do we fall back and let them pick us off from distance?
Well, was there a feeling, though, that Clare were probably too structured in their defensive setup?
Well, the thing with Clare, I think there's a general acceptance is that they've lethal forwards, but that their backs are a little bit vulnerable, and the way they rotated guys to try and get them off yellow cards, they were taking defenders off, they were putting defenders on. I think Eamon Fitzmaurice had a couple of years ago, when you're putting on defenders, it's always a bad sign, you're on the back foot. And I think Davy got a lot of unfair criticism, Davy Fitzgerald, for playing a sweeper, but obviously Davy didn't have faith in the defence in six. He wanted a seventh guy to kind of sweep and float and back them up. And I think Clare are in a funny situation. Oh, do they stick or twist? You know, they have the forwards who are as good as anybody's, but they just look vulnerable at the back. I mean, they're a bit, when I say loose, they're inclined to give away easy frees, you know, and soft frees right in front of the goal, and they don't snuff things out at source. And for that reason, I'd be nervous enough with them against Tipperary.
Okay. Talk about Alan Cadogan's goal and the importance of that.
Well, Cadogan is in, you know, red hot form, so quick, so brave. Every time he gets the ball, he just goes for goal, and that's always a nightmare for a defender, because it now seems to be a template. He gets his man a yellow card early on, so straight away his marker is under pressure, you know, not to pull him down and not to get sent off. The fact that Cork have to create space in front of him, even though everybody knows they're going to do that, again, is going to be interesting in the next game, because they'll probably end up, or possibly end up playing a team that has already played them. So you know to an extent what they're going to do, but there isn't a way to counter that and have a structured defence. If you let someone fall back in front of Cadogan, as Cork did a few years ago with Owen Kelly, they dropped Sean O'Galpin 5 or 10 yards off his man, and his man, Reds were great, he got a couple of points, but Kelly didn't get much from play in that one Munster final for Cork. So if you do that against Cadogan, you're going to ship points from like Shane Kingston and these guys further out the field. So that's going to be a quandary for the next team, because Cadogan is in red hot form, and I mean, pace in all sports is lethal, but when you have pace and when you're plucky, when you're willing to go for goal, man, knowing well to yourself, you never see a slow coward. But if you've speed and bravery, which Cadogan has, you have a huge weapon, and especially in Croke Park, that's going to be so dangerous because there's so much room. It was really noticeable yesterday the way both teams wanted every last inch, and that's why he said there was false wides. They were trying to play the ball into the corner, just overran a couple of times for both teams, because they both try and play that way. And certainly in Croke Park, I'd say there's a couple of cornerbacks will have some nervous nights ahead of that game.
Tony Kelly's penalty going over the bar, how big of a let off was that?
It was a huge let off because, you know, if they'd scored that, it would have been a totally different ball game. But, you know, it's ifs and buts. He was obviously going for a goal because you could see that from his own reaction. He put his hands up to his head straight away. He was obviously trying to stitch it into the corner. Look, those are the margins. 6 inches further down, it's a goal, and the dynamic is different. I wouldn't be one of these people say, oh, well, Cork would have won anyway, or Clare would have definitely won. But it would certainly have changed how Clare set up. Not so much Cork. I just think Cork have bought into their game plan so much that it almost doesn't matter when they concede a goal. They just stick to what they're doing, and it's noticeable every time they concede a goal, they've always gotten a couple of points and they don't panic, which is unusual for a young team. But certainly, I mean, Kelly, if he had scored that, probably would have brought him on a little bit as well, even though he had a very good game, no, in fairness. And a couple of the wides he had, you know, people were criticising him afterwards. But, I mean, you know, he's good enough to score from 80 or 90 yards, so, you know, you want him on the ball there, you want him to have those shots.
Concerns for Cork, obviously, as we've seen in the past, the length of the layoff between winning a provincial final to contesting an All-Ireland semi-final must be the biggest issue for Kieran Kingston.
Yeah, and they're young players as well, a lot of them. I mean, there's a turnover, I think, of nine players who are absent from the 2013 team. So it'll be new to them. And I think that is probably worth a point or two to the opposition, not talking Cork up, but, you know, somebody like Tipperary, if they play Tipperary, have been there so much. I think they are going to play club matches. And you see, one thing feeds another too. I know the Cork manager are very strong about them playing for the clubs and playing well for their clubs. So I think letting them back to their clubs is a good idea to have a round of matches to let them decompress and build it up again. It's going to be interesting because, of course, the under-21s, there's 12 of the panel who are on the under-21 selection for Thursday night, so you have that. You've clubs, so they won't be short of matches. But yeah, I mean, that's just been a huge challenge for a lot of teams. I mean, I think Kilkenny are the only team really who successfully bridged that all the time, but they had such a slow kind of tapering drive for years that they were able to tailor their preparation. So yeah, that's the big challenge for Kieran Kingston.
And thanks indeed to Michael Moynihan for his viewpoints on the action in Thurles on Sunday. Now, a little after the game, Peter McNamara caught up with Cork manager Kieran Kingston, along with members of the Victoria squad.
Kieran Kingston, there probably isn't any better feeling so far as manager than what's happened today.
Yeah, I mean, it's just fantastic. We're delighted with the win, of course. It's been a very tough Munster campaign at the start of the year. When the draw was made, I said like, we were rank outsiders and... Yeah. It was a tough campaign. We started preparing for this last July after we beat by Wexford, so 12 months at that time.
That match, reflecting on that match, we'll go back to that match against Wexford down here. It's a million miles from that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Look, it is, thankfully. As I said, we started preparing. We learned a lot of lessons last year. We started preparing for this. And we've had three tough games, and we're delighted with the win. We're delighted where we are. But look, I suppose there's a few things. The first one, today was a very good day for Park Hurling. It's not about us, the Minors were fantastic today. They had a super win. First time both teams were in the final 11 years. So congratulations to them. We're delighted for them. And they were with us before the game there. 21 to be a big game on Thursday night. We must be final down in Waterford. That's a big game for them. So we'll be keeping an eye on that one. And we have to, we're delighted with the win. We have to keep it in context. And the last time we won, we won the most championship in 2014. We've only won two in 11 years. But the last time we won one in 2014, we got a lesson in the semi final afterwards from Tipperary. And when you go back in 2014, no one thinks about the multi championship, they all think about the lesson Cork got from Tipperary. So we have to keep our feet on the ground.
What's different about this group?
It's a gradual progression. There's a lot of things different, to be honest. There's a lot of changes have taken place in the last 8 or 10 months in terms of personnel, backroom, the panel players themselves. Everything has changed. You take over a job in the start of November and you get 50 odd people together between players and management. Next thing, 6 or 8 weeks later, you're playing matches, and so you've no leading. You should have had a leading since last July. So it's totally different.
We're going to handle that bit of a break now until the semi final of the All Ireland.
Yeah, as I said, look, I mean, we got a strong lesson in 2014 from Tipperary, the All Ireland semi final. We'll get players back to our clubs for a week or two, and we'll get together there.
Has that been one of the positives, the fact that the players have gone back to the clubs and play with their clubs, and it can be done? You don't have to rock them on cotton wool.
Yeah, well, we sort of took that decision start of the year. We've only had a 2 week lead into each of our games. We've only had a 2 week lead in. We played club championships 2 weeks beforehand, and that's just the way we've done it.
I'm here with man of the match from the Munster Senior Hurling Final, Alan Cadigan. Now, obviously, you're not going to turn around to me and say, "Roy, it was brilliant today, the whole team was." But in fairness, the whole team have been brilliant for the whole 3 matches of the championship, haven't they?
Yeah, to be fair, look, everyone's putting in a good shift. It was a chaotic game out there, and even though I got man of the match, anyone inside the dish could have got it. Everyone's working extremely hard. It shows the work rate that is out there, and it's a share in the middle part.
Why was that missing in the past, Alan? And why is it, like, what's different now? Why is that intensity there now that maybe wasn't there before? Because we all know you could play at a ridiculously high skill level, but the intensity is probably lacking in the past. But now it's incredible.
Yeah, look, as I said, there's only 5 or 6 younger lads brought into the panel this year. They bring a bit of freshness, good experience being young and old. And everyone, as I said, is working extremely hard for each other. We're a very tight bunch. What difference 12 months makes as well. So as I say, look, we're delighted to be Munster champions, and we get back to the drawing board and enjoy tonight.
Just a word on the backroom staff, like Sir Keegan coming in there, performance coaches and the likes, their influence on the team.
Yeah, Gary has helped us in various capacities. Look, he's helped us both on and off the field, but once he crossed that white line, it's the 15 fellas that take to the pitch, and it's up to us, and so we're taking responsibility, we're taking ownership of our own performances, both individually and also collectively, and I think we saw that out there today.
And you're going on to an All-Ireland semi-final now. Fair to say, nobody expected that at the start of the year, yet all you're there, and it's a wide open championship. People talking about the strength, physical strength of Galway and Tipperary coming through your back door and whatnot. But Cork are in a really decent position now.
Yeah, I suppose if you ask any Cork public out there at the start of the year, they'd laugh at you if they said that we're in this position right now. We know ourselves, we've been in a huge shift over the last 6-7 months. We knew ourselves what we were capable of. Last year we didn't do ourselves justice. And I think this year everyone brought in both players, management, and we just took it step by step, month by month, and game by game. And we just took Tipperary, Waterford, and Clare today, obviously, and it's just another stepping stone in our journey.
Is there a little bit of extra satisfaction in the sense that you won it the hard way, winning 3 games on the spin?
As I said there earlier, look, we're taking it game by game. We'll enjoy tonight, we won't get too carried away. We're in an All-Ireland semi-final, that's where we wanted to be. We're not going to get too complacent, we've a huge amount of work to do. Obviously that performance there today, we won't do in wherever we play in an All-Ireland semi-final, so we'll enjoy tonight and we'll get back to the drawing board next week.
Congratulations, Alan, well done. We're here on the Asia Examiner GA podcast with selector Pat Ryan, Corker Munster Senior Hurling Champions. Pat, your coaching has been incredibly infectious in the team in the most productive of ways.
Yeah, look, I don't know, but I suppose they're going to go to the coaching start of the year, like, and it's all under the Kieran's Kieran's direction and stuff like that, you know, but look, it's very much a group effort between all the selectors and Donal O'Mahony in the backing team as well, you know, and obviously showing condition with Declan O'Sullivan. So look, been a huge team effort from everyone to get to where we are today, but look, this wasn't knock-on hurling today. Like, we're getting into the knock-on stages of the next competition, so look, we're delighted. We've won the Munster Championship, that was our aim, and look, we'll take the next game as it comes and we'll get a chance.
The one notable feature from Cork this year is that the Rebels seem to be playing matches on their terms rather than the opposition's.
Well, I suppose, look, we were concentrating on that an awful lot, you know, we're trying to put our game plan on it and play to our strengths, because look, in fairness, you just can't, we can't really account for everything what other teams will do, you know, there's so many different tactical changes that can happen in, look, you can go, you can be mind-boggled really thinking about what teams can do and what they can't do, you know, and so look, it's very way easier to concentrate on yourself and try and maybe pick up things as things go on in the match, and that's what we're trying to do, and look, I suppose that's where we were trying to get our own game situation in play and our game plan in play first, and then you can develop it as it goes on, you know.
You did it with Sarris, you're doing it with Cork, you have the Midas touch. What is the most important thing that was the most positive thing for you today in terms of the coaching, for looking out from the outside in?
Look, I'll be honest, coaching attitude. Look, any sport involved in this attitude, it's all about whether the fellas want to work or don't want to work. Look, we've a good bunch of maybe 34, 35 players that want to work. We've a very good group of fellas in the under-21 panel as well that come in and help us out for matches and stuff like that, and they're unbelievable, incredible when they come into us, you know, for fellas that are probably not getting much, you know, they won't get much game time with the senior, but looking down the line, you know, so look, I think attitude, work rate and effort is the first thing you look from the coaching side of things, and after that, look, I suppose one thing I suppose from the coaching side, we try to be positive with the lads, is just positivity and go out and make mistakes and go out and have a cut and attack the ball, and I think that's the one thing that we're delighted with today.
Clare racked up a number of ways, I think it was in the region of 14, so they did have chances, but at the same time you'd have to feel that Cork managed the game quite well after Alan Callan got the goal.
Yeah, well, I suppose I think a lot of those shots were from wides out the field, you know, look, we had a good few our wides ourselves, you know, and they were very close in ones that were probably ones that you should be scoring. I think a lot of their frees were pot shots more than anything, and we were very conscious that we wanted to keep them outside the 45 as such, and force them to score from out there, force them to beat us from out there, you know. I think they only had one shot and goal really maybe towards the end, and Anthony was a bit unlucky enough to save it, you know, but we look at that in the video and try and rectify that for the next thing.
No, that was the action in Semple Stadium on Sunday afternoon, but there was plenty of big matches in Thurles on Saturday as well, and John Fogarty was there for us. And John, eventually, after how many years of trying, 58 years I think it is, Waterford end the Kilkenny Hoodoo, not before time, and a massive monkey off their backs now.
It's huge for them, Cullum. It's huge for them. You could see the delight. Derek McGrath was emotional after the game, and understandably so, because there's been a lot of criticism of it, plenty of it in his own county. But you know, when the record, they won't be able to take this one away from him, and to be the first manager, Waterford manager, to lead the county to a success against Kilkenny in 58 years, you know, in championship hurling. It was quite the feat. As much as looking at the last 10 minutes of normal time there, I certainly sensed that Waterford weren't just playing Kilkenny. I think it dawned on them, just like it did last year, that they were within a hair's breadth of beating or fighting history. And it affected them. You could see they went into their shell. They certainly shriveled. That's what the sense I got, but they came out into additional time. Certainly the likes of Jamie Barron was renewed and revigorated, I should say. And it was quite an accomplishment for them. Obviously they're still not performing as well as they would like. But I think there's a lot of extenuating circumstances given the history that they have with Kilkenny. You know, Kilkenny, they died with their boots on. That's the cliche, but it's true. It's very true. You know, they're certainly not the team that they were, but just like they proved in situations against Limerick, even against Wexford at stages, they're a team very difficult to beat, if not world beaters anyway.
We'll come back to Kilkenny and the match itself in a moment, John, but just how much pressure do you think Derek McGrath was under within the county, given what had happened in the last game against Cork?
There would have been a lot, Cullum. A lot of people fancied them to go on and win the Munster title, to avenge the couple of defeats that they've had at the hands of Tipperary over the last while. They were deserved second favourites for Munster this year, but obviously they met an irresistible force in that Cork team. Speaking to Stephen O'Keefe for Saturday's paper, he was making the point that too much was made of that defeat, and I would tend to agree with him. I thought there was flashes of excellence there now from Waterford at stages against Cork, as much as they weren't able to see it out. You could see that they were a little bit more conventional against Cork, but over the last couple of games they've gone towards something that they know a little bit more of, you know, the likes of De Burka. I would imagine that's a real poke in the eye for critics of the sweeper system, that Ty De Burka was man of the match for the TV man of the match anyway. Jimmy Barron was my guy, but that's the sweeper, Ty De Burka, was man of the match. They had a spare man there with Dara Fives as well, and you know, Kilkenny found it so difficult to break them open. And I felt Kilkenny played into their hands a lot, a bit, because if Kilkenny had been a little bit more conventional, then I think they would have asked questions of more questions of Waterford, but it didn't come to pass. And for McGrath, it's a huge thing, because a lot of players, both privately and publicly, who he would have played alongside, have been very fierce in the criticism of him, who believe that, you know, he's been shackling Waterford over the last while. But you know, I think they are, you know, next to Tipperary and Galway, the most consistent team over the last three seasons. So, and especially with the draw, they're going to be playing a team that, you know, are almost a mirror image of them in Wexford. And, you know, Waterford will obviously be fancy because they're a little bit further down the road than Wexford in terms of development. But it was a good day for McGrath, and it'd be very difficult to take it or to try and, take it away from him. I go back to Kerry beating Tyrone that year that Donegal won the All-Ireland, and you know, people saying that, you know, Kerry people were satisfied that they, you know, got that monkey off their backs and beaten Tyrone regardless of how the rest of the season went. Now obviously Waterford want to push on from this, but to get this monkey off their backs in the form of Kilkenny is a huge thing, and you know, all credit to McGrath for that.
Okay, there was a great line in Anthony Daly's column in the Irish Examiner today about Kilkenny. They're like an old rock band, he said, well past their sell-by date, but still able to bang out classics. You did get that feeling, and you mentioned it there earlier, John, down that stretch, that 10 minutes, these guys, they just refused to die. And, you know, would we have been surprised if Kilkenny had snatched it at the end? No, we wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't. Now, obviously, there was a bit of luck attached to it. I don't think the goal should have stood whatsoever. I thought Colin Fenley, you know, Austin Gleeson was blown in the first half for charging, and I felt Colin Fenley charged even more so. It was a lot more deliberate in trying to force his way into the area for that TJ Reid goal. But again, there was something, you know, almost predictable. It was in the script. I wasn't being any Nostradamus or anything like that. When I tweeted there's a Kilkenny goal coming, we're just so used to it at this stage, and you would almost, you know, you'd almost wonder if Waterford were institutionalized like that, if, you know, there was a self perpetuation of doom there in that they were expecting it. You know, like it was almost Kilkenny's turn to get a purple patch in. Mm-hmm. They've done it so many times in the past that they don't know when they're beaten, and that's the thing I think that's going to sustain Kilkenny into next year again. Like, I think it's going to actually excite Cody. I fully believe he's going to stay on for next season. As much as he was trying to differentiate himself, his future from the Kilkenny's future, when I asked him after the game on Saturday, I think there's too much of a challenge here for him. I think there's so much good coming down the line from the under-21s, particularly from the Kilkenny minors. You know, as much as Cork minors now look a real force and look strong for an All-Ireland, Kilkenny will fancy themselves too. Considering they know Croke Park a lot more than this Cork side, you know, this Cork side of youngsters, and you look at the likes of Richie Lahey and how he performed coming off the bench, Blanchfield. There's guys like that there. I would imagine that Cody will only love to get in and coach. Now he might change his backroom team, but I think come November we'll be hearing the usual statements from Kilkenny that Brian Cody has agreed to stay on for another season.
Yeah, about 10 o'clock on a Monday night is the usual drop time on that, isn't it? a lot of talk, John, about unrest and unhappiness in the Tipperary camp. Well, if that is the case, then every camp should be following that template, given their performance against Dublin in the curtain raiser on Saturday evening. Does the final scoreline, 626 to 119, say more about Tipperary, or does it say more about where Dublin are at?
I felt it was it said more about Dublin on the day. I won't say it obviously didn't flatter Tipperary because they created 8 goal chances, but then Dublin created 3 goal chances themselves, Colm. So, you know, you have to consider it like that. Like, Callanan was extraordinary there, and I would give him a hell of a lot of credit, because considering how poor he was the previous weekend, and you know, he was so poor that Michael Ryan took him off. I think we've seen that as well. You know, the best teams at this moment in time, there are no sacred cows. I felt there were sacred cows in that Kilkenny team on the other night. I think Michael Fenley should have been taken off a lot earlier than he was. I think he was injured by the end of it. Now, obviously, Michael Fenley has had a poor time of it, injury-wise. But, you know, we've seen Austin Gleeson being taken off. We've seen Seamus Callanan being taken off, 2 Hurler of the Year contenders last year. Obviously, Gleeson winning it. And, you know, Michael Ryan, I think he was trying to send out a statement and taking off Callanan there last weekend. And, geez, what a return. Because he was up against, you know, Owen O'Donnell, who was one of the best full-backs in the country this year up until the last couple of games. He had a very fine league and was definitely one of the finds for Dublin this year under Ger Cunningham. But you could see Callanan, his all-round game. Like, obviously, he got the hat-trick of goals, Cullen, but the passes, his array of passes, he's putting in some beautiful balls for his fellow forwards there. And, like, he is a 2-time Hurler of the Year candidate. So, you know, class is permanent as they say. So I wasn't expecting him to be down for too long, as much as Owen Kelly was saying last week that you wouldn't be surprised if Callanan was dropped. But there are still issues. Like, Ronan Maher's form isn't all that great. Like, he was he was inspirational for Tipperary last year, but when he doesn't have the ball and when he's turned, he has looked a little bit slack, and there's still a couple of issues in the full back line. Like, James Barry proved to be a very good centre back last year for Tipperary during the league before Ronan Maher came in, and Barry had to move back. So it might be an idea. I don't think, you know, experimentation is probably not the name of the game when you come to All-Ireland quarterfinals, particularly against the Clare side that will be, you know, smarting after what happened yesterday. But it is an option if Michael Ryan chooses to go with it, to move Barry out, maybe even to move Ronan Maher into the corner, because Ronan Maher would seem to me to be, more suited to that sort of situation than James Barry, who looks like a central figure. But, you know, the one huge thing, apart from Callanan for me at the weekend, from a Tipperary perspective, was just how good Bonner Maher was. He brings such a work ethic. He keeps other guys honest. Like, you can see it, that they look to him as the guy who who sets the bar in terms of the amount of effort and commitment that he puts in. And he was so sorely missed again in the Cork game. But the word was, before the Offaly game, he was going absolutely fantastic in training, and I think we saw it at the weekend. Like, next to Callanan, he was the man of the match for me for Tipperary. And with guys like him in good fettle, you would imagine that you can understand why Tipperary are fancied to be Clare the next day.
And is it fair to say that this was probably Ger Cunningham's last game in charge of Dublin?
Yeah, it's my understanding that he's told the county board already, Colm, that he will not be seeking to extend his term. And, you know, it's there were so many high hopes for Cunningham. Like, obviously, he's proven himself at club level with the likes of Ballygunner. He's a 2-time All-Ireland winning selector at Cork. Probably should have been the Cork manager by this stage if it wasn't for some politics and some disagreements. But it hasn't gone well. Obviously, it hasn't gone well. You know, relegation. I'm writing about it for tomorrow's paper that, you know, back in 2011, the Blue Wave, the strategic plan, the Dublin set out, very ambitiously, mind you, but they set it out that they wanted to win an All-Ireland every 5 years. Well, by next year that won't be achieved. By next year, it'll be 5 years since Dublin last played an All-Ireland series game, which was the semi-final in Croke Park. So that leaves a lot to be desired. You know, there's already calls for Anthony Daly of our own parish to come back there. Certainly he is a uniting force. He knows the lie of the land there. He would certainly bring the clans back together. He would break bread with a lot of guys who seemed disenchanted and completely disillusioned by the Jerry Cunningham era. Now, a lot of those guys are a few years on, but obviously, you know, besides Liam Rush and Ryan O'Dwyer, there's a lack of leadership there in that Dublin group. There's a lot of good underage guys coming forward and what have you, but you know, all the good work that was done under the Daly era, the Daly era seemed to have been undone. There might be arguments to say that, you know, Jerry Cunningham certainly wasn't at all at fault for all of that. You know, some players might have had great designs about themselves, but then some didn't, and they were jettisoned, or you know, at least made to feel as if they weren't wanted. And there's a huge rebuilding job, and there certainly will be a honeymoon period for whoever Cunningham's successor is. But at the same time, it has to be a statement. It has to be a big name, because Dublin Hurling, you know, they've set out their stall. They've talked the talk, but when you see them, what they did at the weekend with organising club league fixtures to clash with the hurlers game in Turles, you know, it doesn't send out the right message. The optics just don't look good in that camp.
Okay, some might have said the optics weren't looking good in Roscommon when they appointed an outside manager in Kevin McStay, but those critics and naysayers were given an answer yesterday in Pier Stadium. Incredible result by Roscommon in the Connacht final, beating a fancied Galway. Did you see it coming?
No, much like our man John Dively, I fancied Roscommon to put Galway close. I just felt that Galway had more in the forward line. But again, Galway, I just don't like the way they play their football. Cullum, now, you know, it's all a matter of opinion, but I think they play with fear. I think they play as if they're set up to be hard to beat. Whereas they have a forward line now that should strike fear in a lot of teams, like the likes of Coma, Walsh, obviously. You know, Sean Armstrong, he's enjoying an Indian summer now in his career and what have you. But and it was very good against Mayo. But Roscommon played with positivity, and I know a lot of people are saying it, that, you know, they played like, you know, they wanted to win, whereas Galway played like they wanted to just not be beaten. And it really was a good day for football, as much as the conditions obviously weren't great. And it was, obviously, we have to talk about Kevin McStay as well, and everyone's speaking about it considering the criticism that was thrown at him earlier in the year from inside the county. It was great to see for a guy who's been much maligned in that regard. I don't see Kevin McStay staying on after this year, but you know what, to go out with a Connacht title, and listen, they're in the All-Ireland quarterfinals now, and they will pose a difficulty to whoever comes through the qualifiers, certainly on that side. But for McStay, you could see he left for the dressing room before the final whistle. I say he just wanted a moment of reflection to himself and to enjoy it, because I'd say he was quite emotional, because you could see it earlier in the year that what was being said about him, what was being thrown at him, really, really hurt him, considering he's lived in Roscommon for so long. Again, a good day for the outside manager, and a good day for the underdogs and football too.
And thanks indeed to John Fogarty for his overview of the weekend action. That's where we have to leave it for this Monday. Thanks indeed to all our contributors, and thanks indeed to Larry Ryan, our producer this morning. We're back again next Monday. Hopefully you'll be able to join us for that. Don't forget, you can log on to irishexaminer.com/papertalk, or you can track us down on iTunes or on SoundCloud.